This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast is sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services.
This is Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba, unlocking essential advice, opinions, and key issues that affect South Africa's small business community.
Welcome to yet another edition of the Small Business Conversations podcast, and thank you for choosing this weekly SME show as your preferred platform to delve into the important issues affecting South Africa's small business environment. SNG Grant Thornton recently engaged with about 100 local mid-market business leaders across various industries to gauge business sentiment from players operating within the mid-market segment. Now, generally, as some of you might expect, survey results show a deterioration in business sentiment, with optimism for the country's economic prospects declining considerably between the second half of 2022 and the first half of 2023. To find out what is driving sentiment for this segment of business, I am joined by the Director and Head of Business Consulting at SNG Grant Thornton, Omar Hassan. Thank you for joining me on the podcast, Omar.
Hi, Akona. Thank you very much, and good day to your listeners as well.
So, Omar, the survey SNG Grant Thornton conducted found that mid-market business leaders aren't feeling particularly great about doing business in South Africa, with optimism dropping to 44% from 52% in the second half of 2022. What are some of the key drivers of this sentiment?
Thanks, Akwena. I think just before I get into that, just to give some context, as you said, it's a mid-market survey. We look at mid-market being 50 to 500 employees. And of course, the surveys and interview considers the opinions of CEOs, MDs, chairpersons. So it's really top of house, trying to get really realistic data. As you said, the concern we've seen is the level of optimism from South Africa compared to global has deteriorated. And I think there's a number of areas to look at. So optimism looks at, of course, profitability, selling price, exports, a number of areas we can sell to. And all of these have been down compared to previous years. Also, it looks at profitability has been okay in terms of companies still seeing about 70% still seeing that they make a profit over the year. But there's a number of constraints that impacts it. And the constraints that have been cited, of course, is the energy constraints that we face as a country and an economy, economic uncertainty, our infrastructure from a transportation perspective, of course, our rail networks, as the our finance minister has noted in the midterm budget as well, is a constraint in terms of what we're doing. And then major constraints has been skilled workforce and labor costs. So it's almost saying, do we have sufficient capacity and capability in our skills to be able to execute and look at growing the economy from that perspective? So those areas cited as major impediments or constraints to mid-market businesses enable to do business and to move forward in them. Together with that, there, of course, you get the interest rate as well as where we're seeing, of course, inflation's come to manageable levels. But I guess the selling prices of things and sometimes the prices of consumer goods, et cetera, increasing, making it difficult for mid-market to move on from there. We've also seen, of course, from an energy crisis perspective, even though there's a concern, there's a decline year on year, giving sight to us to say probably some of these companies have already gone and invested in solar and seeing, okay, cool, we can actually work under these circumstances. And we've seen some reduction in load shedding. And also Eskom saying that the Kusile plant will come on, we'll get more megawatts coming through. So that will support organizations itself. But in summary, in general, I guess the optimism in terms of doing business is looking lower compared to global and looking year on year has deteriorated. There is positive to look at, which I'm sure we'll get into. But for now, that's an area to ponder on and say, cool, what do mid-market businesses need to do to be able to actually grow in this economy? And of course, it's an important part of our economy and how do they help us grow as a country?
I'm glad you mentioned the little improvements that we've seen. And of course, this set of results looks at the first half of the year. And since then, I'm sure, I wanted you to comment on this. Has there been a change in sentiment or just anecdotally because of what has happened? I mean, load shedding has subsided a bit in frequency. Yes, it's picking up now. But for a while, we were seeing quite a relaxed load shedding schedule coming out of Eskom. And then also, there's been maybe a halt, or with interest rates remaining unchanged, that has seen kind of a cool off from the hiking cycle. So I'm wondering, has that done anything to improve sentiment at all since the collection of the survey's data?
Yeah, of course. This data is based on H1 2023 data, right? We haven't gone and remeasured it. I guess we'll get new data coming through towards the end of the year to pinpoint it. But I mean, in terms of looking at where the economy is and where things are moving, definitely the curb of load shedding will increase sentiment in terms of organizers, SMEs actually being able to operate effectively and push production as much as possible from that perspective. There's also sentiment to say that interest rates, of course, will top out and we'll see a reduction from that perspective. So I guess if we're getting that part to max out, we then see more investment into your property and new buildings, etc., from that perspective as well. So I guess any curbing of those level of price hikes or impediments to that, they would see more relaxation on the mid-market in where they're going. Tongue-in-cheek to that, there, of course, we've seen the components of bird flu, etc., coming in, which then places pressure. So it's almost looking at where you see a win in certain areas, it might be a constraint in others. But I guess, I mean, if you look at the data, it's, I guess, 100 companies. Quite a few of them are still seeing positivity to say, we can still make a profit, we can still move forward in this economy, even though there's still major constraints that we need to deal with from that perspective. Also, some of these areas are coming off, remember, growing from a lower base during just coming out from a COVID pandemic perspective, et cetera. So we're seeing the numbers more rationalizing now from the data that came from 2022 to 2023. In terms of getting a clear outlook coming out of from a 2 year of COVID.
And I'm glad you mentioned the light of positivity that's coming from the business sector. I mean, it shows the nuance of businesses in South Africa and how they feel about the local operating environment. For example, the research showed that about 70% of businesses are anticipating a rise in profitability in the next year. And you've mentioned some green shoots coming from the prospects of profitability from businesses. And so many of them are also looking then to increase their investments in staff, skills, new buildings, in technology, as well as research and development. How should we understand these nuances in light of the overall depressed sentiment? Is this something that we could start seeing effects of maybe in the next year or so? Or if should conditions remain the same in terms of load shedding, interest rates and the like? Is this something that we could see positive impacts of or results of in like the next year or so?
Yeah, the data certainly points to that, right? So for me, in terms of, we measure key element in terms of future business investment intentions. And critical to that, as you've highlighted, is investment in staff skills and investment in new buildings have increased year on year. I think 69% for staff skills, 59% for new buildings. The sentiment there is saying, if we see capacity and constraint of skilled labor, we're seeing businesses then focusing and targeting to say, we need to bring that skills into what we're doing. We need to also see the investment in new buildings is also citing to say, as interest rates top out, we see people, organizations going into commercial residential buildings in terms of growing that. So that's a positive sentiment. But together with that, there's still investment and cited into technology. I think it's dropped off 2% from 2022, but it still sits at 65 out of 100 businesses still looks at investing in technology. 66, depending, look at investing in research and development in terms of growing. So again, those areas where we see increasing efficiency, effectiveness, the ability to actually produce and maybe reduce their cost to income ratio, etc., is positive. Again, we see that to be a forward-looking view over the next 6 to 12 months. And should we still have a bit of economic stability in the country. We see improvements from government around the ESCOMs, as well as the rail network transits, et cetera, and we get more stability there. We should see the sector then having a lot more positive outlook into next year. But a lot of it hinges on how we perform as a country, and do we actually execute and get our municipalities to execute on the infrastructure projects and the major initiatives that we're taking on for these organizations to leverage off.
You've mentioned how load shedding is no longer as big of a threat as it used to be for businesses currently. That mainly because they've invested to kind of build a defense mechanism against load shedding, whether it's solar capacity generators or budgeting for diesel costs because of the power crisis that we have currently. So they aren't as badly affected, or load shedding is not as big of a concern as it used to be in previous years. I'm wondering, what are some of the other threats now that may be concerning businesses? I'm thinking of possibly Transnet issues, infrastructure. We've seen a lot of conversation around municipalities and the deterioration of services in certain parts of the country, especially in the city of Johannesburg, where I'm based, where we've seen a lot of complaints from businesses about how the city is kind of being run to the ground, if I can say that, allegedly. So I'm just concerned or interested in what the other concerns, if any, businesses might have in terms of the looming threats that may come post load shedding.
Yeah, I'll get into that now. And just in terms of the load shedding component, I think the what we read from the data is there's a lot less businesses from year on year in terms of citing that power is a crisis as an issue. However, that may be because they expected higher hikes in terms of electricity prices and more load shedding, but received less, so there was a more positive sentiment to it. Also, the view in terms of the Kusile power plant coming back and we're getting more units coming into the grid, etc., again, see more positivism there. However, we must never misregard the point that the impact of increased load shedding has a direct impact to the cost and the bottom line of running small businesses. So we could see that pick up should load shedding and Eskom not be appropriately managed, and that pick up going forward. To your point, yes, some companies have bold defenses, but that still is an impact that we need to consider. In terms of other impediments that probably could impact this economy, this market, of course, as you mentioned, is the reliance in terms of service delivery from a municipality perspective, as well as the execution capability of government to kick off the large infrastructure projects and projects that we're looking in terms of growing the economy and rebuilding the economy is quite critical to support the growth of small business. Secondly, is our transport and infrastructure network is critical, the likes of Transnet, etc., to be able to continue building and providing a sustainable and reliable infrastructure in terms of our rail network and other transportation is critical in terms of promoting exports and promoting growth in businesses, etc. I mean, if you look at this here, we've seen a deterioration in terms of sentiment of exports. And of course, that has a direct impact in terms of to our GDP from a deficit perspective. The second to that, there is the price from a commodity perspective, the ability to look at the commodity prices and how we can actually grow that from a mining industry perspective will be critical around that there itself. And thirdly, I would say, as we mentioned, we spoke about early, is the common theme in terms of skills and capability to be able to execute. And we cited quite key skills that's probably lacking in the economy from a capacity perspective, which needs to be focused on. And these cut across your engineering to your financial, medical, as well as media components in terms of having the right skills to be able to deliver. And these infrastructure projects will require quite a bit of that there to make sure that we can actually execute effectively and start seeing growth in terms of what we're doing.
So it just makes it come down to the fact that everything is very important in this ecosystem to kind of push up sentiment, because if we don't have the skills, then we can't really fix the infrastructural issues that we have, causing a kind of topple-down effect for business owners who are trying to defend their businesses against the problems that exist. But also, if you don't fix one thing, then we can't really address the other. And I guess this helps us to circle back to the skills issue, as you mentioned. The research points out out quite clearly that skills shortages is an issue, and we are losing skilled workers by way of immigration. But also, we've seen recent reports in the media on difficulties that businesses facing with attracting skilled workers from other parts of the world because of what's believed to be inefficiencies in our work visa system. And I guess before we go further in just delving deeper into the skills aspect of the conversation today, can you just speak briefly on the industries that were highlighted in the report that are experiencing significant shortages at the moment?
No, certainly. I mean, the positive you see is there's a huge demand for South African skills. The negative is, of course, we feel the impact of it in terms of us not being able to serve and grow, right? So we're great in terms of building really skillful people and take them across. I mean, they get taken across and we don't get value from it. In direct to your question is we've seen impacts from that there across our finance area. Your health and medical area, technology, as well as from a media perspective and media telecommunications perspective. A key thing we've seen is quite a few technical resources and specialists is cited as deep skills that's needed globally. And of course, you're finding that the skilled workforce in South Africa, which is attractive because of one, the cost of those resources and the skill set of them, of course, the rest of the world's going to come through and grab them as quick as possible. What's, I think, increased the speed and the rapidness of this year is, of course, I mean, one of the things on COVID we learned is the ability to work in across the world is very easy. And it allowed us to be a lot more global as an entity or as an individual rather than local just to the economy. And we found that many people started working for international companies sitting in South Africa. And then afterwards, some of those immigrated across. But we still see that mixed in terms of people working and residing in South Africa, but still working abroad and then taking that full skill set across. But many people also we see immigrating across and taking those deep skill sets, whether it be specialist doctors, medical nurses, data scientists, developers, etc., which is and engineers. I mean, it's a huge brain drain to the economy, which impacts ability to execute effectively, which impacts the ability for innovation, which impacts a number of things. So we live in a very integrated society, integrated business model. So one shift then creates a shift across the different variables as well from that perspective. So it's quite important that we actually have targeted measures in terms of how do we focus on one, upskilling and retaining talent in our economy.
What are some of those solutions that business is coming up with then? Because my follow-up would have been, is it a matter of our education system not producing enough graduates to kind of meet the demand? But then you're highlighting the retention issue, that in fact it might be a matter of our country economy not being able to retain the skills that we produce. And then on top of that, we aren't able to attract people into the country timeously to support our skills and our workforce in the country. So how do we address this problem? What is business suggesting? What solutions are they coming up with?
Yeah, that's a very interesting question. I think we probably need a few hours to answer that. there's a number of different avenues you can look at it, right? So for me, I mean, we need to almost look at it from a number of angles. If I start from the beginning in terms of earlier in terms of graduates you're producing, we almost got to look at what is the demand and the future looking like in terms of skill sets required within the economy and making sure that we try and fit that mold and try and cater for where the capacity and demand are, where we're going to get best value from that perspective. The world has shifted in terms of how the economy operates and what's the demand for different skills. We had a period where commerce was a huge demand. We're seeing a lot now into technology, etc. And we're almost going to see that we're producing the right talent and the right skill sets across businesses itself. Second to that, so that's starting from the grassroots, you're saying make sure that our curriculums at the school level and university is forward-looking and has transformed to be fit for purpose and adjusted to be right-sized to be able to cater for what's required as an economy going forward. I know it's a very open-ended question, but I guess we had time we could delve deeper into it. But second to that there would be also looking at organizations, looking at, and it's already started, is how do we cater for our different generations across the workforce and different skill sets across the workforce? You now get the younger workforce coming in and wanting to work two or three different jobs at the same time or work in different cultures and look at hybrid ways of working as look at flexible ways of working and look at output and measuring output from that perspective. I think large organizations are going to look at how do we cater for that type of a workforce, which is dynamic, which is diverse, and appropriately skilled to be able to measure output across it from that perspective. So COVID also taught us that you can work from anywhere and still be really effective and productive, given a set of guidelines and barriers to that to manage it itself. So it's almost saying large organizations, small organizations need to be quite direct and specific in terms of what's their need, what's their training need, and make sure we get upskilling from across the globe where we need. Secondly, is managing a workforce that it's managed based on a flexible and dynamic workforce management component and not stringent to how we've worked in the past. And secondly, we leverage our skills of the globe. One of the things we'd be attracting is if we start being much stronger in our execution of our projects, both from a strategic, economic, as well as infrastructure perspective, we start seeing growth, we start seeing more investment into our economy, and then we see a lot more interest into our economy from a skill set perspective. In terms of retaining the talent, is of course we got to look at how efficient and effective we are as an economy of what we're executing against, for large organizations to make sure that they open up the avenues to upskill and train people and accommodate the working environment as it's currently set in terms of going forward.
And Omar, just to wrap up our conversation, I have to ask you this. I mean, we are heading into an election season. Some would argue that it's already started if you keep up with news reports. This is a time, of course, when a lot of promises are made to all sectors of society. How do you expect this will affect business sentiment? Does political grandstanding have the potential to hurt sentiment? Are business considering this as a risk?
I guess it's very interesting, right? Because there'll be a lot of commitments made by government and parties. Of course, your political stability is critical in terms of the growth of the economy. It's critical in terms of your mid-market, in terms of what they have access to, what they can rely on from an infrastructure perspective, a stability perspective, etc. That sentiment in terms of what we see over the next 6 months coming up to election will be critical in terms of how the mid-market then views the outlook of the economy and where it's going. If we see political instability and we see areas where there's no faith in terms of optimism going forward, we may see this deteriorate into first quarter or first half of next year. But I'm hopeful to say we actually see growth. You look at the midterm budget in terms of where we were, and our debt levels is an issue. However, you're looking at how we're going to be managing the bailout of Eskom, how we're going to focus infrastructure projects, etc. We see some of those things coming through, and we see some execution and some positive movement and upside in that side. We'll definitely see increased sentiment in terms of the mid-market in following that trend. It also depends on what's the actual feel in the market going over the next few months, as we're going into the Christmas period and out of it as well, is how stable are we in terms of core service, and how do we see things actually coming back in terms of ability to operate in this market, and how good of a Christmas these businesses actually have, would be quite interesting to look at. So, I mean, those are definitely one of the factors that will be key for next year in terms of as we produce this data. It is an election year. It's quite an interesting piece to see what actually comes out from a regulatory and a political component in terms of how these businesses view it.
That right there is S&G Grant Thornton's Omar Hassan speaking on their latest research on how mid-market businesses operating within South Africa are feeling about the country's state of affairs. Thank you so much for your time, Omar.
Thank you so much, Aguana. I really enjoyed it, and keep well.
This episode of the Small Business Conversations podcast was sponsored by Nedbank Small Business Services. If you enjoyed this episode like Omar did, please download the Small Business Conversations podcast on all digital platforms. And don't forget to share our episodes. If you want to contribute to the conversation, you can X me at machoba_A, or you can email us at smepodcast@manweb.co.za to share your thoughts and suggestions for future conversations. Until next time, goodbye, and don't forget to support a small business near you.
You've been listening to Small Business Conversations with Akona Machoba. To listen to more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za, the MoneyWeb app, or your favorite podcast platforms. MoneyWeb, your trusted source for business and investment insights.